others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Hi, Zoe Saldana. Welcome to T-Mobile. Here's your new iPhone 16 on us.
Thanks. And here's my old phone to trade in.
You don't need a trade-in. When you switch to T-Mobile, we'll give you a new iPhone 16. Plus, we'll help you pay off your old phone up to $800, and you still get to keep it.
There's always a trade-in.
Not right now at T-Mobile.
I feel like I have to give you something in return for karma.
That's okay.
I don't really have much in my purse. Oh, let's see. Juice box. I'm a mom.
I'm good. Seriously.
Let me check. Oh, hot sauce. Take it.
Really? I'm fine.
Oh, I have raisins. A balloon. Wait one sec. I've got cupcakes in the car.
Switch to T-Mobile. Get a new iPhone 16 with Apple Intelligence on us. No trade-in needed. We'll even pay off your phone up to $800.
With 24 monthly bill credits, new line, $100 per month on Experience Beyond. Finance agreement, $829.99 and qualifying ported. For well-qualified plus tax and $10 connection charge. Payoff via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
I'm Michelle Franzen. The Texas House gaveled in for roll call but didn't have enough lawmakers needed for a quorum to continue. It's the second day. State Democrats have refused to return as the Republican-led House tries to approve new redistricting maps that would give the GOP five more seats ahead of the midterms. The Texas governor now calling for their arrest. About 50 state Democrats traveled out of state, including Representative Ramon Romero Jr., and who was staying in Illinois. He says it's worth the risk.
Maybe just as they did back in the days of the Alamo when they asked the rest of the country to come and join in on this fight. So we do ask you to join this fight because we're defending the rights of all Americans to value their vote.
President Trump expected to sign an executive order today for a task force to create a task force to oversee the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. And Tennessee authorities say they've taken accused killer Austin Drummond into custody for the quadruple murders last week. This is ABC News. The Republican-led House Oversight Committee in its probe of the Jeffrey Epstein files has issued subpoenas to several high-profile Democrats and former Justice Department officials.
The House Oversight Chair says in addition to demanding the Epstein files from the Justice Department, his committee has issued subpoenas to Bill and Hillary Clinton, former FBI Directors James Comey and Robert Mueller, and six of the last seven attorneys general. Letters from the chairman say the Clintons have been subpoenaed because the former president repeatedly flew on Jeffrey Epstein's plane, and the former Secretary of State is not only married to Bill Clinton, she also oversaw efforts to combat international sex trafficking.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. It follows President Trump's former personal attorney and now deputy attorney Todd Blanche meeting with Epstein's former co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell. She's serving a 20-year sentence for sex trafficking. Smoke from more than 700 wildfires continue to burn in Canada. That smoky air drifting into the U.S. with hazardous air quality conditions stretching from the Great Lakes to the Northeast. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veoza, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veoza can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veoza and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veoza if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veoza. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veoza.com. That's Veoza.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is stressing the importance of back-to-school vaccinations as the state had its first confirmed measles cases over the weekend. Bureau of Communicable Diseases Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ryan Westergaard.
Thanks to childhood vaccines, many illnesses like measles and pertussis that were once very common in childhood are now much less common. However, when vaccination rates decline, then cases of vaccine-preventable illnesses can surge.
DHS says the nine cases are all in Oklahoma Oconto County and were exposed to a common source during out-of-state travel. Police in a Madison suburb say they're prepared for one of the women accused in the Slender Man stabbings to come to the community.
Sun Prairie Police Chief Kevin Warrick says his officers are working with the Department of Health and Human Services to transition Morgan Geyser into the community. Geyser was recently granted release from a mental health institute over a decade after being committed in the attack on a classmate in Waukesha. Geyser's original release was held up because she would have been placed in a group home too close to her victim. She will be on GPS monitoring and will have to abide by conditions of her release. Geyser's location and move date are being kept private for her safety. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A bear with a plastic jar stuck on its head was freed over the weekend in northwest Wisconsin.
According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the 70-pound, 2-year-old sow was first spotted with the jar on her head July 26th, and she traveled more than 50 miles for about a week while in that predicament. She was spotted in Sawyer, Bayfield, and Douglas counties. On Sunday, near Cable in Sawyer County, a trained wildlife professional was able to safely dart the bear with an immobilization drug so the jar could be removed. The sow has been relocated to a safe wooded area to recover. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. A hazy sunshine today as wildfire smoke still sticks in the area. Calm winds barely moving. Same air mass is still here. High temperatures today will scrape the low 80s. They do the same thing tomorrow, and hopefully by the afternoon the winds will start to kick up, pushing this air mass out of here. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, 78 degrees.
Well, that was no fun. New contract lows in the grain trade, and it's not like there's any new bearish news. It's like the market has decided that if the news was bearish yesterday, it must be even more price negative today. Livestock trade is a completely different story. Lean hogs were higher, and front month cattle scored a new contract high.
Live, embracing all the highs and all the lows via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Mark Schultz from North Star Commodity. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Davis, I forgot to tell you earlier.
Yeah?
Shay. My granddaughter, Shay.
Yeah.
Little 2-year-old peanut.
Uh-huh.
She caught her first fish this weekend.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yes, it was so cool. You know, she got the little Snoopy pole.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'd cast it out there. We were sitting on the bench together. I'd cast it out there, hand it to her, and she'd just sit there and reel. Uh-huh. Well, here comes a bluegill. Grab that hook, and she caught her first fish this weekend. How cool is that?
That's terrific news. Was it enough of a bluegill to make a sandwich out of? I mean, that would really lock it in. You know what I mean?
You know, it was a pretty good bluegill. Uh-huh. It was a pretty good bluegill, but it was probably not sandwich worthy.
Okay.
So, but what a time. What a time.
Oh, good for you. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Another conservationist outdoors person in the Flory Ranch there. I love it.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. You got anything else to talk about?
I don't know when's the last time I caught a fish, I'll be honest.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm doing here.
What's that? I'm trying to do anything here.
Huh? I'm trying to do anything but talk about the grain markets.
Well, I promised them that we would embrace all the highs and all the lows, because you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the what? Facts of life.
I don't know.
The facts of life.
The Facts of Life.
Anybody remember? Any 80s kids?
Oh,
out there?
Hello. Yeah, yeah. I do. Hey-oh. Yeah. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Tough day. It was. I mean, stunk. Unless you're over in that cattle trade and on the long side of it or got a feedlot full, whatever. It was a pretty impressive day over there in the livestock trade. But, boy, we got to get through what's going on in this grain trade. We got Brian coming on here in just a second. Brian Split. We're going to talk about what's happening in the soybean oil. And Mark Schultz, North Star Commodity. He's been on the show before, but not with me. So he was on with Michelle. Mm-hmm. So this is my first opportunity to have a conversation with Mark Schultz from North Star here on the show. Excellent. All right, let's get to the markets.
Well, Chip, December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly higher and on session highs and fell to a new contract low. Hard red winter wheat futures also opened on session highs and the fall to a new contract low triggered a round of aggressive selling and a close on session lows. After finding support at 540 for a month, December HRW futures posted a solid downside breakout. Spring wheat futures also saw new contract lows. That's despite some slight deterioration in the weekly crop condition ratings. USDA put 48% in good to excellent condition, down just a point from the previous week. December HRW wheat futures 12¼ cents lower at 525¼. December soft red wheat down 8½ cents to 528½. December spring wheat closed at 592½. That's down 3½ cents, Chip.
Yeah, market is looking for something that's going to stop the selling that's happening, especially this week in that market. Like what you said is exactly right. The market was trying to build a base in here and going sideways, but today kind of ruined that.
Well, December corn futures gapped lower, firmed to just fill the gap, and then dropped to get within a penny and a half of support at $4. There was no change in USDA's corn crop condition rating, with 73% in good to excellent condition. But a crop rating at that level this deep in the growing season has traders factoring in bigger corn yields on a nearly daily basis. The estimate from StoneX Group at 188.1 for a national average corn yield is the first private estimate ahead of USDA's crop production report 1 week from today. The lack of a serious threat to yields and the weather outlook also weighed on prices. USDA did announce the sale of 128,000 metric tons of new corn. That's for delivery to unknown destinations. September corn futures 5½ cents lower, 381½. December corn down a nickel to 402. March corn futures closed at 420, down 4¾ cents, Chip.
Yeah, tough day, and accelerating the downtrend.
USDA rates 69% of the bean crop in good to excellent condition. That's down a point from last week. Beans rated poor to very poor is at just 7%. The lack of new crop demand from China is a heavy weight on the market. Fresh uncertainty over the future of biofuels policies in the U.S. seems to have also chased buyers out of the bean oil market. December bean oil closed at the lowest level since July 9. November beans opened lower, rallied to spike $10, and then ran into heavy selling before prices dropped back to close near session lows. September soybeans 3¾ lower, 971½. Novi beans down 3¾, 990¾. Jan beans closed at 1009¼, down 3¾ cents, Chip.
Yeah, December soybean meal today was down a dime. December bean oil down 60 points.
December cotton today was 47 points higher, 67.11. Quickly to the livestocks. August fat and feeders scored new contract highs and new contract high close. Back month futures still have resistance at last week's highs. Box beef prices this morning shot sharply higher. August fat cattle 337½ higher, but 234.27½. August feeders up 5.65 at 341.05. August lean hog futures 60 cents higher, 108.77½. Chip.
All right, thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brian Split, AgMarket.net. How you doing, Brian?
Well, I'm hanging in there, Chip. How are you guys?
Doing all right. This bean oil market, man, oh, man, it was a rising star, and now it's not doing the beans any favor.
No, you know, we had kind of a rising wedge on the bean oil chart, and we took that out midweek last week. So it was a very solid uptrend that was in place since about mid-June. And we had an outside day lower today. We traded above yesterday's highs, closed below yesterday's lows. So I would expect some further weakness. You know, in big picture, you've got China. You know, we're taking a lot less of their cooking oil, so their oil supplies are going to be building there. They're buying meal. I don't think they really need to continue to crush for oil at this point. So meal looks like the biggest bargain out there in the agricultural commodities. We're trading down to 9-year lows, revisiting lows we haven't seen since 2016. And that was a tremendous springboard in meal values from there.
Yeah. Okay. And all of that is turning into some pressure on this soybean market. The November beans, here we are. It's almost like we're built. We confirmed that that market doesn't want to trade above $10 today, didn't we?
Yeah, we tried. We took out yesterday's highs. We had a negative close, but you've got an uptrend from December to April that comes in just above 980. So if you take out 980, I think there's still a head and shoulder pattern on November beans. It measures down to about 952, 951 down in that vicinity.
All right. All right. Good stuff. It's always good to keep perspective on the charts there. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Brian Splitt, agmarket.net. You know, it's like I said in the open, it's almost like yesterday's news. If it was negative and it's still quote unquote news, it must be twice as negative today. Well, we're factoring in a bigger corn crop. We're factoring in a bigger bean crop. What does it all mean for this price outlook? We'll talk to Mark Schultz, North Star Commodity, next.
Hear that? Those are Pioneer brand soybean and corn fields, the number one seed brand in the U.S., ready to harvest. The combine reaps and separates row after row of innovative genetics. Soybeans fall into bins and bounce off the tin with unbeatable yields. Pioneer corn and soybean seed is the number one brand in the U.S. This is what it sounds like to plant number one. Learn more at pioneer.com/topcrop.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When the game,
the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, providing land loans to help family farms thrive in any challenge. Terms and conditions apply. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We get to have a conversation with Mark Schultz, North Star Commodities. Mark, It is good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Doing real fine, real fine. Yeah, you've been on the show, but not with me. You were on when Michelle was sitting in for me, and I listened to that show a while ago, and I thought, doggone it, Mark was pretty good. I need to get him on and get to know him. So glad that we could get together and get you on here, Mark.
Yep, we tried that a couple of weeks ago. It didn't work out, yep. But we're good to go this week.
Perfect, perfect. Okay. Signals from the market. What is the market telling you right now, Mark?
Well, it's downtrending, Chip. In the big picture, the basis is starting to widen out on the old crop corn and beans both, and you can already see new crop is already starting to widen dramatically. So you're getting to the point the harvest is getting close to already at hand in far southern Louisiana. I'm hearing yields comparable with last year. But I think the harvest is getting for the south. I mean, you're going to start doing stuff in Texas, Oklahoma, the northern delta. They'll all be picking corn here in about another 10 to 15 days. So the market's going to be under some pressure until then. And when you look at the weather, you really just don't see much of a problem. I mean, the crops look great. Pro Farmers Tour starts in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure you can just see a good-looking soybean crop and a good-looking corn crop.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to Randy Dowdy this morning about some of his buddies down in Georgia that are harvesting, and it sounds like they're having a really good time getting started on that corn harvest down there too, Mark. So the South is not going to be an anchor like it has been in the past. And when the South isn't an anchor, boy, you better look out for the way that the Midwest can lift the whole thing then, right?
Yeah, the Midwest and your I states, Illinois, Iowa, and when you look at where they are with moisture for the year, even since June, the last 2 months, we're talking about plenty of moisture across everybody. I just don't think there's a lot of areas that are even in any dry pocket to speak of. If they are, they're very minor at best. And then you maybe in some areas, I would say you probably have too much water that's going to hurt the crop. But those areas probably are not big enough to have a significant impact. You might be talking 3, 4, 5 counties in Minnesota. You've got probably got about 5 or 6 in Iowa that might be excessively wet. But overall, that's about it. And if you want to write a script of how a big corn crop is produced, it is a warm, dry start for the spring, followed by cool, wet forecast for the June, July, and August time period.
You got it. You got it. Boy, I tell you what, Mark, I've been trying to hold this observation back until after Crop Tour is done. But the little bit of driving around that I've done, the crop that I've seen, I always have to go all the way back to 1994 to find the most consistent crop that I've ever seen. That was unbelievable. It didn't matter where you were, every field you pulled up to, it was 165 bushel corn. This year, the consistency might be outpacing what we saw in 94.
Yeah, there's, you're right. Big crop years, 1994. I remember 1995, the crop looked very, very good. I remember talking with clients going, well, did you walk the fields? Does it look okay? Oh, I don't have to. It looks just as good as last year. But it didn't yield as well as everybody thought. It ended up being more of a surprise to the downside. We had the same happen in 2010. Crop ratings about this time period looked good. Yep. I remember doing some seminars, driving down at this time of the year, going, man, I'd like to stop and see what it looks like, but I'm not sure I could find my way out of the cornfield. It's so thick and so lush. But that crop also faltered. Now, the difference was that you got into a very hot, humid weather to finish off the crop year, especially in 2010, a lot of high heat indices. And that happened more into that late July through most of the month of August. And that's where things hurt. And he really shut the water off, too, in 2010 on the finish. But those were the only two surprises. Otherwise, typically, you end up with a pretty good crop.
Yeah, that 2010 crop, Mark, if I remember correctly, from August to the January annual production summary, I think we lost a billion bushels off of that corn crop.
Yeah, I want to think the yield dropped some 13 to 14 bushels per acre. And corn was like 368 on December corn at this time in the August report. And we ended up seeing corn futures. These corn that year went up to 605 a bushel before it expired. I do not expect that to be the case this year.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Boy, and it set the stage for everything and all the fireworks that we had in 2012 then with that run to 850-something there in August of 2012. Crazy times. It's hard to believe that, you know, $6, $7-plus corn when we're looking at front-month futures well under $4 and new crop futures knocking on the door, man.
The $4 on the Dease corn basis widening out is talking with a client today. New crop cash bids, $360 a bushel, $240 or 240 bushel per acre, and it still won't pay the bills. So pretty tough, even with prices down here. It's going to be a tough time period for us in the grain complex. So I've always been saying to people, you're going to have something that goes wrong with the weather. And the biggest problem also has been, there just really hasn't been any significant weather problem anywhere in the world. You're going to have a big crop, South America, Argentina, Brazil, Australia. Looks like a crop is not exactly falling apart in places of Russia, in Ukraine. Europe maybe has some issues with some corn too dry in places, but even their price is not going up, reflecting any type of a nervousness or being scared about the market.
Right. Okay. So what does the corn market have factored in for a national average yield? Or answer that, or what does it take to get a bullish number in the September 12 crop production report?
Well, the August 12th report comes out, so they're not going to really have boots on the ground. It'll be satellite imagery. So you look at your crop ratings compared to where we were a year ago. I would say, based off what we have with moisture, how we got it planted, I think population plant stands this year are phenomenal. So I would say right now, if you're looking at the trade, I would say we're probably factoring in a 185 bushel per acre or better coming in. You have a few privates that are already at that level or higher. I don't think USDA goes that high right away, but I think that's what it's going to come into. The soybeans, probably around 53 and a half, maybe 54 plugged in is where I would think we're at.
Okay. So if they would get to StoneX Group's number at 188.1, that would be a negative. The market would probably react negatively to that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. In fact, this morning when the markets opened up and corn was down 1 to 2 cents, I did my morning update and I said, well, if 1 to 2 lower with a 188 bushel corn yield, I'd call that, if that's all we do, I'd call that bullish. Because to me, I think the corn market should have been down anywhere from 10 to 15 cents a bushel if we really truly have a 188 corn yield out here.
Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Okay. It takes a while to factor all of that in. 53.6 is where StoneX Group was on soybeans. Sounds to me like you think that's probably factored in.
Yeah, we had, I think it was 52 and a half or 53 last year on the August report for the bean yields, 52 and a half, I think it is. But the crop ratings are about the same. We've had pretty, export business. You really can't complain about it. It's pretty good. Fine. In the case of corn, in the case of beans, we're missing the Chinese business right now, and that, of course, is concerned. But what becomes this massive obstacle that we have to overcome is this big increase in acreage that was brought into production in Brazil from 2018 on, and we have gone up dramatically. And what makes matters worse is then that they double crop that and then come back on with beans. So you're increasing production all the time, moving up.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a problem. They're going to end up with another good crop of beans this year as a record-breaking yield production, and they're going to have probably a record-breaking yield production this year coming up on there.
Right. Okay. All right. We are in the middle of a conversation with Mark Schultz, North Star Commodity. I want to talk more about those trade issues when we come back, Mark. What has that done to the markets, the price performance, the psyche? And then we got to talk some risk management as well. Mark Schultz here on AgriTalk.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. LoveLost is a free, easy-to-use database utilizing photo matching technology to search participating shelter partners and social platforms to bring pets home. Simply upload a photo to report a lost or found pet to the largest free lost and found database, or pre-register your pet today so you're ready if the unthinkable happens. With over 100,000 reunions and counting, LoveLost unites communities through technology to make a difference. Let's unite to reunite, because every pet deserves a lifetime of love. Visit lovelost.org and register today.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 12¼ cents lower at 5.25¼. December soft red wheat down 8½ cents to 5.28½. September corn futures 5½ cents lower at 3.81½. December corn down a nickel, 4.02. September soybean futures 3¾ lower at 9.71½. November beans down 3¾ to 9.90¾. December cotton today was 47 points higher at 67.11. Over to the livestocks, August fat cattle $3.37½ higher at 234.27½. August feeders up 5.65 to 341.05, and August lean hogs 60 cents higher, 108.77½. Get more? Visit tryprofarmer.com.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. A hazy sunshine today as wildfire smoke still sticks in the area. Calm winds barely moving. Same air mass is still here. High temperatures today will scrape the low 80s. They do the same thing tomorrow, and hopefully by the afternoon the winds will start to kick up, pushing this air mass out of here. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, 78 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We are in the middle of a conversation with Mark Schultz, North Star Commodities. Mark, I keep getting messages from listeners, and I just got one during the break again. They wanna blame the funds for this pressure that we're seeing on corn and soybeans. What's your take on that?
Well, I don't think that's, I mean, we want to blame them when it's going down, and we want to give them all the credit when it's going up. So if they want to go to the long side, you know, they're on the bearish side, and let's face it, they're right. So you gotta call it what it is, and they're correct, and we're wrong. If we want to play the long side, you're on the wrong side. I always tell people, you'll know when you're on the wrong side, and you know that when the margin call clerk calls you and said you have a margin call, you're on the wrong side. Get to the other side. So being long the market has not worked, and you know, corn market's been pretty much in a steady downside. You get a little bit of a pop up here, but you know, it's just been a steady die down. There never really was any great price selling target that got to. I mean, we had 480, right. I think we went to 479 and three quarters and missed it by a quarter of a cent. I've gone, okay, we're all the way back down again. But in here, it hasn't done much. Soybean market, you want to look at the bean market, just go look at a chart. I think we're in what, $1.50 trading range for the last 13 months. That's nothing. I mean, the bean market typically should be moving $2 to $3 a calendar year from top to bottom, and we're just not doing that. So it's not like you lost some tremendous profitability that got away from you. You just had, you know, the opportunities were probably what, to make a little bit of money in here, and that's probably before you even planted the crop. So it's kind of a tough one.
Yeah. Oh, it certainly is. There's no question about that. The trade issues that the markets are having to factor in right now. I mean, what do you make of it? You go back, to Liberation Day, when I guess, you know, the question that I was asking all the time was, Davis, I hope I get this right, he keeps saying the potential for short-term pain but long-term gain on these trade issues. Are we seeing any of the long-term gain out there yet?
I think we're still in the short-term pain, quite frankly. So, okay, so we probably have, you know, what we start out with, 90 different countries that we're going to do trade agreements with. We probably have maybe a dozen completed. Yep. It's not very many. You still have the big one with China. And, I mean, that's the market mover. The other ones, yeah, they're fine. You get some business, don't get me wrong. But that's all great, but you got to get the big one. And I'm more afraid that we spent too much time and nothing's been accomplished. And therefore, I think when it's all said and done, I don't think China's been sitting around going, gee, I wonder, I'll wait until we find out what type of agreement we get. I believe they're already out knocking on everybody else's door, other countries, and signing trade agreements with them. So I think we lost some business, and I think it's going to be tough to get it back.
Yeah. Is China going to buy beans from the U.S.? I mean, they kind of have to, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they have to buy some beans in here. But the odds favor, they probably do not have to buy as much as they did last year. So it's going to be less than where it is. You know, you'd like to see it going, and maybe the business picks up here somewhere in hopefully September or whatever. I don't think you're going to get much in August at this point. But by the time October last year, it was off to a slow start. But we had 452 million bushels sold on the books to China by the end of October. If you want to get something in that category or that level, right, I would say by 1st of November. If we don't, then you run the risk, because Brazil will be planting beans here in just about three more weeks. And it looks like they've at least have the moisture. So unless they shift to incredibly dry conditions or excessively wet, That'd be about the only way you could try to create some problem. Otherwise, they'll be planting beans, and my guess is they'll be harvesting beans and put them on the world market middle of January to the first full week of February.
Right, right. And I think the market agrees with you, Mark, that China is going to be in and buy beans. Because if China wasn't going to show up and buy any beans, yeah, and the market honestly believed that, we'd be lower than we are right now.
Yeah, there's, you know, production is, there's just only so much production in the course of the year. It's who you do the business with that becomes the telltale sign. We're not really in a position even on currencies to battle against South America countries at this time, or Russia for that matter. I mean, their currencies are substantially lower. So, I mean, it's what people are going to do, and businesses are going to do the same. You're going to buy wherever you get it, the product, the cheapest. And right now, it's not the U.S.
Okay. All right. So, you know, there's always market chatter out there, and you hear it, I hear it, everybody hears it. Sometimes you jump right on board with it, and you think, man, oh, man, that makes a lot of sense. Other times you hear stuff that just makes you cringe. Is there anything out there right now that just makes you cringe because it's so wrong?
I don't know about whether it makes me cringe. What makes me cringe a little bit right now is more that makes me nervous that the market still has more downside going. Yeah. Things that make me a little bit concerning is, and myself included, I thought by the time we got some type of trade agreements going, it would include buying agricultural products. But we really haven't seen that in any of the deals at the present time. Yeah, we're going to have a little bit more beef from the UK, maybe buying beef from Australia, might buy some US beef. But they're just not big enough numbers. And right now, I mean, Australia's got plenty of beef the way it is. They don't need really have to come over here and buy US beef. So I don't really see that as being an element. And, you know, the China deal, you always keep thinking, well, maybe he's going to have something that's going to surprise us with a trade announcement that's going to include, and it's going to be a boost that hasn't developed yet. And now we kind of sit here and the clock is ticking. And quite frankly, I always tell customers, we really, you kind of ran out of bullets here for helping out the market at the present time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So from a risk management standpoint in the grain markets right now, Mark, is there anything that you feel really strongly about, or is this a market where we just have to wait it out?
I think you're going to have to wait it out, but I think you're going to have to be careful here on your production of where, if you've got the storage capacity to hold it. And most of them, I'm afraid, if the crop truly is as big as it gets to a record, they're going to have a tough time with that. So find places, because otherwise you're going to have a very wide basis. That game's going to get played here. I don't care where you're at. It's going to end up being a wide basis for corn and soybeans. So if you've got crop that you don't think you can get it stored or put away, then I think you better be prepared to find a home for it pretty quick, or make a sale pretty quick and just bite the bullet and be done with it.
Yeah. What's your attitude towards re-ownership? You know, if we get into that, we mark a harvest low sometime around October, is that something that you would consider?
Well, I think last year was the August 27th, 28th, something like that, you put the low in. People that had the July corn positions and they had the base, they rolled it, and that was just an easy one to come into to buy. Watch that time period, that last week of August, I would say. By that time, we probably are going to be pretty well factored in to see what the crop is and the size. We'll have combines probably start coming up a little bit further north, and we'll see if those yields are better than expected or worse than expected. So I would look for something like that, as a time frame here. Otherwise, asking me right now if the market is a good buy, I'm still telling people, no, you wait for right now. I think you're a better opportunity another 20 to 30 days from now.
All right. Very good. Talk to me about cattle. I mean, here we go again. August contracts, new highs. The back months are lagging just a bit, but they're knocking on the door.
No, they're punching right up to contract highs again. You had a key reversal down on the technical side of the markets on some of the deferreds from April on back in 2026, all posting weekly key reversals lower last week. My only comment was, well, yeah, technically that looks pretty tough. I'm nervous about potential significant low in 2026. But when I look at the cash market and the Packers still paying up 235 in the south, 245, 247 in the north, looks like he's going to do at least steady prices again this week. Box beep was higher today by $4 in the morning report. Now, box beep prices have come down. The Packer margins have got into the negative territory and pretty severe negative territory. How long they do that, my thought has been somewhere 3, maybe 4 weeks of significant losses before they start to cringe. But right now, one has to be very careful. You've got this 50% tariff that goes into place on Brazilian beef, and we've been importing a tremendous amount of Brazilian beef, probably have hit their quota and then some. So they could maybe are up to 25% tariff anyway. Now, if they put another 25% up to get a 50% tariff, it all depends on what happens with the beef price in Brazil. If it stays where it currently is, then we won't bring in more beef in from Brazil. That won't happen. But if that beef price in Brazil goes down $50, then it will be, you can pay the tariff and bring in beef from Brazil.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Our market is still in a bull market.
Yes, it is. Great conversation, Mark. Thanks, man. I hope we can do it again sometime soon.
My pleasure, Chip. Nice talking to you.
Outstanding. Mark Schultz, North Star Commodity. Davis and I will be right back.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld, then share them with family and friends.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg,
but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson here, your pal, along with Chip Flory. Glad to have you with us. Chip, I got an email from the Renewable Fuels Association. I wanted to just point something out here. Just highlight something right quick. Just bounce it off you. See how it strikes you. U.S. ethanol exports totaled 173.7 million gallons in June, down 6% from May. Still 30% higher than year-ago levels. Canada, the top destination, up 6% to a six-month high of 64.9 million gallons. In June, exports to India surged 158% to 24.2 million gallons, the largest volume in 5 months.
Do you think we're going to do that number again?
I don't think we will. Were these perhaps goodwill purchases, I'm asking, ahead
not
of
Canada.
Negotiation? Huh? No, not Canada. I'm talking about India with that 158% surge.
Yeah. And now that the tariffs have been initiated against India for doing business with Russia. Yeah. I mean, it was the response to that was fairly strongly worded from India.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed.
So, and we've said this 100 times since Liberation Day. Every time you hear that we're making progress with India, turn a skeptical eye to
it.
We ain't.
Yep. All right. Well, moving on.
I'm full of good news today, aren't I? Good vibes.
Yeah, and I have a feeling I know how you're going to respond to this one, but we got to get through it. All right. Boxed beef prices this morning sharply higher. Yep. Choice up $4.61. Select up $4.42. The August fats now at 234, 27 and a half, up 337 on the day. Feeder futures up 565 there. And then we turn to the conversation with Mark Schultz from North Star Commodity. Good to talk to him, get to know him a little bit better.
Yeah.
He still says the cattle market is in a bull market.
Yeah.
You and I have talked quite a bit about the resiliency of the consumer We just haven't seen it show up in the meat case yet. People keep buying beef. Market goes up. People keep buying beef. I don't know. Are you seeing anything from your end that would indicate that consumers are thinking differently about beef, maybe?
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily coming from consumers. It's coming from cattlemen and kind of their scolding of consumers for thinking that beef is high priced. I mean, in other words, they've got consumers that are that they are following that are making comments about high beef prices. And I mean, CNBC has done the story. Fox Business has done the story now about beef prices moving higher. And I see cattlemen getting on social media and kind of cussing out consumers for thinking that beef is high priced, when look at what's happened to insurance. Look at what's happened to the cost of a car. Look at what's happened to your house. Look. Hey, man, groceries are different. That's all I'm saying. Groceries are different. And you should be willing. You know, think about it this way. When it comes to putting beef in the freezer here at the Flory house, I've joked about it for 2 out of the last 3 years that I've bought the high. And you know what? It's a joke. I do kind of laugh about that because I know I'm still getting a good deal. Even last year, I didn't quite buy the high, but I was doggone close. And I still felt like it was a good deal. I look at what I'm going to be paying this year, and I'm just like, holy smokes. Am I sure I want to do? Yes, I'm sure I want to do that. But it's getting harder. The bottom line is, it is getting harder to do that, especially with a whole beef. Yeah. Now, what it makes me want to do is go take a look at the local locker and see what kind of meat bundles they've got and stuff like that. But for the average consumer out there, and I mean there's way more. I shouldn't have said average consumer. For most of the consumers out there that go to the grocery store once a week and get their beef supply for the week, it's getting easier and easier for them to substitute chicken breast for hamburger, pork burgers for hamburger, pork chops for steaks. That substitution is getting easier. It's got me a little concerned. And, you know, some of the cattlemen that I follow are the ones that have tipped me off to this. And I went out and started looking, and the consumers are definitely starting to show some
I would agree.
No data behind that. Completely anecdotal.
Sure.
Yeah.
But fair, because you do have your finger on the pulse of American agriculture, particularly the cattle. Nebraska soybeans, but that's a whole different story. But you said something, one of the key Flory market indicators. When the doofuses on the mainstream news start talking about a market, that's when she rolls over. And you just mentioned, I don't remember which ones you said, but they sounded like doofuses to me. But a stopped clock is right twice a day, Chip. I'm just saying.
That's right. And that's why I keep mine locked at 5 o'clock all the time. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, August 11th through the 15th. We've got above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt and elevated odds of above normal temperatures over the heart of the Corn Belt. We've got near normal precipitation August 11th through the 15th through southern North Dakota, South Dakota, most of Nebraska, and into western Kansas. Above normal precipitation expected in Minnesota, Iowa, eastern Kansas, and points to the east of that. In the 8 to 14 day, this is for August 13th through the 19th. Whoa, man, oh man, the above normal temperatures are setting in. We've got above normal precipitation pushing to the east and below normal precipitation moving into Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and southwest Iowa, near normal around that. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. Jim Minter from Purdue.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Do you know how America became the best country on God's green earth? We made things, from automobiles to airplanes to textiles. We were the manufacturing epicenter of the world, the innovators that every other country turned to. I'm Katie Lyon, co-founder of Allegiance Flag Supply, and I'm here to tell you that the American spirit is alive and well at Allegiance, where we make American flags 100% in America. When you fly your American flag from Allegiance Flag Supply, you're not just honoring our country. You're supporting American men and women who proudly make the highest quality American flags, period. True patriots who put care into every stitch. See our full story at showallegiance.com and learn about our 100% American-based supply chain. Fly your flag from showallegiance.com with pride, because every flag says manufacturing is still alive and well in the U.S. and we are still the greatest country. Save $35 on your American flag set when you go to showallegiance.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The dire humanitarian crisis getting worse with each